Nanny fished in the recesses of her clothing. "Fancy a drink?" she said. There was a muffled clink from somewhere in her petticoats. "I got champagne, brandy and port. Also some nibbles and biscuits."
"Githa Og, I believe you are a thief," said Granny.
"I ain't,"
said Nanny, and added, with that grasp of advanced morality that comes naturally to a witch, "just because I occasionally technically steal something, that doesn't make me a thief. I don't think thief."
"Let's get back to Mrs. Palms."
"All right," said Nanny, "but can we get something to eat first? I don't mind the cooking, but the grub there is a bit of an all-day breakfast, if you know what I mean." There was a sound from the stage as they stood up. Walter had returned, followed by a slightly fatter Grebo. Oblivious to the watchers, he continued to mop the stage.
"First thing tomorrow," said Granny, "we'll go and see Mr. Goatburger, the almanac man, again. I've had time to think about what to do next. And then we're going to sort this out."
She glared at the innocent figure washing the stage and said under her breath,
"What is it you know, Walter Plinge? What is it you've seen?"
"Wasn't it amazing?"
said Christine, sitting up in bed. Her nightdress, Agnes had noted, was white and extremely lacy.
"Yes, indeed," said Agnes.
5 curtain calls! Mr. Bucket says that's more than anyone's had since Dame Jeegly. I'm sure I won't be able to sleep for the excitement."
"So you just drink up that lovely hot milk drink I've done for us," said Agnes. "It took me ages to carry the saucepan up those stairs."
"And the flowers,"
said Christine, ignoring the mug Agnes had placed beside her. "They started arriving right after the performance, Mr. Bucket said. He said..." There was a soft knock at the door. Christine adjusted her dress.
"Come?"
The door opened, and Walter Plinge shuffled in, hidden under the bouquets of flowers. After a few steps, he stumbled on his own feet, plunged forwards, and dropped them. Then he stared at the two girls in mute embarrassment, turned suddenly, and walked into the door. Christine giggled.
"Sorry, ma'am, miss," said Walter.
"Thank you, Walter," said Agnes.
The door closed.
"Isn't he strange? Have you seen the way he stares at me? Do you think you could find some water for these, Perdita?"
"Certainly, Christine. It's only 7 flights of stairs."
"And as a reward, I shall drink this lovely drink you have made for me. Has it got spices in it?"
"Oh, yes. Spices," said Agnes.
"It's not like one of those potions your witches cook up, is it?"
No, said Agnes. After all, everyone in Lankra used fresh herbs. There's not going to be anything like enough vases for them all, even if I use the gazander."
"The what?"
"The, you know, it goes under. The bed, gazander."
"Oh, you're so funny."
"There won't be, anyway," said Agnes, blushing hotly. Behind her eyes, Perdita committed murder.
"Then put in all the ones from the earls and knights, and I shall see to the others tomorrow," said Christine, picking up the drink.
Agnes picked up the kettle and started towards the door.
"Perdita, dear,"
said Christine, the mug halfway to her lips. Agnes turned.
"It did seem to me you were singing the teensiest bit loud, dear. I'm sure it must have been a little difficult for everyone to hear me."
"Sorry, Christine," said Agnes.
She walked down in the darkness. Tonight there was a candle burning in a niche on every second landing. Without them, the stairs would have been merely dark. With them, shadows crept and leapt at every corner. She reached the pump in the little alcove by the stage manager's office and filled the kettle. Out on the stage, someone began to sing. It was Peccadillo's, part of a duet of 3 hours earlier, but sung without music and in a tenor voice of such tone and purity that the kettle dropped out of Agnes's hand and spilled cold water over her feet. She listened for a while and then realised that she was singing the soprano part under her breath. The song came to an end. She could hear far off the hollow sound of footsteps retreating in the distance. She ran to the door to the stage, paused a moment and then opened it and went forward and out onto the huge dim emptiness. The candles left burning were as much illumination as stars on a clear night. There was no one there. She walked into the centre of the stage and stopped and caught her breath at the shock. She could feel the auditorium in front of her. A huge, empty space making the sound that velvet would make if it could snore. It wasn't silence. A stage is never silent. It was the noise produced by a million other sounds that have never quite died away. The thunder of applause, the overtures, the arias. They poured down fragments of tunes, lost chords, snatches of song. She stepped back and trod on someone's foot. Agnes spun